I'm Niall from One Direction, and this is our autobiography. Sometimes I wonder how my childhood prepared me for this madness of One Direction. On one hand, there's no preparing for this, certainly not on the scale that the band has grown to, but I can see how certain things in my early years have helped me. Funnily enough, there isn't really much musical history in my family. My parents didn't perform or have amateur singing careers, but they were really big music fans. I vividly remember two pivotal gigs that have hugely influenced me. Both by the Eagles. I went to see them twice before I was even 10. That was a pretty big deal for me. The first concert I ever went to was Busted, and McFly opened up for them. The second gig I went to see was the Eagles. Two totally different ends of the spectrum. After that, I was hooked, and I wanted to get up on stage, whether it was the choir or local productions, like Oliver, talent shows, or busking, anything to do with performing. I just wanted to get up there and perform. I auditioned when I was 16 for the X Factor, and then I moved in to the house a week after my 17th
17.
birthday, yeah. So kind of, as the band was being put together, I was like 16, yeah. The live shows, I was 17. You know, as people know, my childhood was cut short by the X Factor because, One Direction took off and I never really got the chance to finish school or do my exams or anything like that. You know, I once said that after the first audition, I basically packed up everything in my life in a bag, and that's completely true, because what I didn't realize at the time was when I was stuffing the clothes into the little suitcase, that was pretty much me leaving home for good. The first 6 months of One Direction was just really nuts. As soon as we got to the venues, TV studios, radio stations, people would say there's loads of girls by the gate, or a few hundred even. So we'd go out, chat with them, and try to meet as many as possible. In a pretty short space of time, though, the numbers grew and grew, and people started saying there are a few thousand outside. When we were on the X Factor, we all thought it was hard work, and it was, to be fair, but as soon as we left the show to go out there on our own, the work rate just went mad, total crazy. We were being shepherded around all over the place, and everyone wanted a bit of us. I don't mind admitting that a part of me was thinking, right, you have 6 months to do as much as you can, chances are it's all going to be over after that. I think that probably a realistic way to be, and certainly meant that we never really slacked off or took any opportunity for granted. Obviously, we managed to last a little longer than 6 months, and we've got a good bit of success, but back then, we didn't really know if each gig might be our last. Our first single didn't come out until September after the X Factor. So in the 9 months before that, we basically slugged it out in the back of a Mercedes van. In and out of hotels, the X Factor tour, time in the studio, radio stations, video shoots, doing photo shoots. We brought a book out, did loads of signings. We must have done every teen magazine on planet Earth before then. The band's horizon seemed to be getting bigger and bigger every day. Sitting here looking back, it's actually hard to think of everything that went on. It's honestly so difficult to remember because it feels like it was just yesterday, but also it was such a blur. It was really noticeable how all of us got along so quickly. We always had a good laugh, and the relationship between the five lads in the band just kind of happened. We spent every single day with each other and never really fell out. Our first PA tour of small clubs was a crucial part of us starting to become a unit. Driving up and down the country in a small van, performing at all these clubs, a couple of bar mitzvahs, and all that kind of stuff. On the first day, we went into the studio in Sweden. It was in Stockholm, and we were literally going in to record What Makes You Beautiful, which we didn't realize at the time. On the first day, yeah, we went in, we went for lunch, and on our way back, there was these two girls standing outside the studio, and we actually just walked straight past them, didn't even look at them, because we didn't even realize that they were here to see us. They shouted out to us, and they got pictures, and we chatted, and we found out that they'd actually taken a huge train journey across Sweden to see us, and that was really our first taste of fans outside the UK, which we were all really, really shocked by, because, we didn't think that we were going to go anywhere outside the UK. And then when we seen these fans, and then every time we went back to Sweden to do more recording, there was more people outside and outside the studio every time we went. And it was all a bit of a shock to us. And then from there, it just went on all around Europe. And yeah, it was all a bit crazy. Our first album, Up All Night, was a good pop record, in my opinion. I just couldn't believe what was happening with it going to number one in all these countries. I knew we were working hard. I knew there was a buzz around the band, and that was perhaps quite infectious. I knew the fans were just out out of this world helping us. But it was still a big shock to me. To be fair, we didn't actually have many expectations when we flew out there the first US promo trip. Yeah, we knew it was a big deal to go over there, and it still is, to be fair. But you just don't expect success. Why would you? You hear of so many bands going out there and trying so hard, but ultimately failing. The way we looked at it was, let's just go out there, have a bit of fun, be ourselves, work hard, do as much promo as we can and see what happens. And actually, the other day I was watching a show on ITV. It was like a tribute to the Beatles. And it was like their first trip to America, and we always like, before we went, and actually while we were there, we watched like the Beatles' first performance on the Ed Sullivan show in 1964, and that was kind of what broke the Beatles. And I remember we used to get really excited because we used to watch these boys, and we felt like we had a little bit in common with them as people, not as musicians, because listen, the Beatles are in a league of their own, and there's no doubt about that. But just like all the different personalities in the band, and even now watching that, they said that like, that's why it worked. The second time we were out there, we went on the Big Time Rush tour, which was a crazy time. We just didn't really comprehend how all these American fans were singing every word of every song back to us. We'd often be sitting in the back of the bus after a show, and everyone would be just looking a bit dazed, and then would say like, what the hell is going on here? This is unbelievable. And having thousands of fans turn up to cheer us on in the street before we went on the Today Show was just on another level. There was like 15,000. That program had been built up to be the biggest thing. But to be perfectly honest, we didn't really know much about it because, to be honest, we're not American. We later found out that some of the fans had been queuing overnight in the freezing cold New York streets. Not the safest place in the world to be, but they still did it. I'll never forget the moment when I found out that Up All Night had gone to number one in America. We were in New York doing some promo. We'd literally hammered every radio station, every TV show, every meet and greet, everything we could possibly throw ourselves at. I was actually in the back of a taxi with my friend going to Sony offices to collect basketball tickets for a Knicks game that night at Madison Square Garden. Then I got the phone call from our manager, me and my friend just like punching the head off each other and having a laugh. And then actually we did it so much that the taxi driver ended up just kicking us out of the taxi. That debut album tour went on for ages because we just kept getting dates added and, you know, added and added every day. Yeah, it was tiring at one point or another for all of us. We were exhausted. We eventually did over like 60, 70 dates. So that tiredness was going to be inevitable, to be fair. But what a buzz. And I still enjoy touring now. And I don't mind. I don't really get homesick, whereas like some of the lads would. But, you know, it's not going to last forever, so I might as well enjoy it as much as I can now.